I didn't want to talk about the Penn State situation until maybe some of the hysteria and the emotion had calmed down. I don't think there's any doubt about the fact that this is a very serious subject, and it's kind of sad to see it happen to a great institution. But I thought when I wanted to have somebody on to talk about it, I thought that Ron Smith, who had been on with me recently talking about his book, Pay for Play, A History of Big-Time College Athletic Reform, would be a good guess. And also, he happens to be Professor Emeritus of Sports History at Penn State University. Ron, you've been at that university for a long period of time, and I'm sure now you've had a chance to, after a week and a half, to sit back, reflect on not only what happened, but why it happened. And let me ask you from two perspectives, because you're a part of the university as a professor, and I want to ask you from an institutional standpoint, is that what saddens you? I mean, obviously what happened is bad, but does that sadden you a great deal that a university from an institutional standpoint could let something happen like this?
It's sad from a couple standpoints, and it's nice to have you give me a call. It's sad from the young kids' standpoint, if these allegations are true, and it looks that like they are, of Jerry Sandusky. I joined the Penn State faculty in 1968, and Jerry Sandusky became an assistant coach in 1969. And I had very high regard for him. He was a very likable person. He only lives about a half a mile from here, me, in this little town outside of State College, which isn't all that big, a little town of Lamont, with Mount Nittany, down on the foothills of Mount Nittany. So it saddened me from the standpoint of the kids, but it saddens me from the standpoint of an institution evidently covering up something so that its image would remain this kind of pure Penn State image that exists. And anybody that's anywhere knows that nothing is pure. And so from that standpoint, I'm saddened about it, that that it happened, and then almost sadder that the institution was covering up, especially by its major leaders. And one must say that Joe Paterno was a more important person by far than anybody at Penn State, including the president, Graham Spanier.
You know, you bring up a very good point. And think about this for a second. Had it been anything else but football and somebody had found out about this, is there any doubt in your mind that they would have acted on it immediately? And, you know, I think about your book called Pay for Play, A History of Big-Time College Athletic Reform. And I think about, this is the tail wagging the dog, and at a prestigious university like Penn State, it's got to be very troubling for somebody who has been a part of that university and that campus since 1968 to think that something can become bigger than the moral right thing.
It's right, and if this had been done at another institution that wasn't considered quite so upright as Penn State has always considered itself, and other people, by the way, have also considered it wouldn't be quite as bad. And by the way, today it broke that at Citadel University, they issued a statement today that a camp counselor caused sexual abuse to a summer camper in 2007, and it was not reported. And that individual camp counselor now was arrested just a short time ago for assault of five more boys. So the situation is almost the same.
Well, it's not quite the same in that it was not reported, is what you said. But in this particular case, it was eventually reported, and still nothing was done.
Well, it was eventually reported, and it may have been reported at some point and covered up by the Citadel. I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
What's saddening about this is the athletic director knew about it. The vice president knew about it, Gary Schultz, and Paterno knew about it, and we don't know how many other people knew about it, and the fall guy now is becoming Mike McQuarrie, the assistant coach who saw and described sexual activity in the locker room and reported it. But then when nothing was done, he went no further with this, nor did he evidently tried to stop what was going on in the shower room. So he's under protective custody now because his life has been threatened.
You've obviously known Coach Paterno for a long period of time. Do you have any better understanding, Ron, about when somebody would come to anybody, I mean you or me, and said, I've seen something inappropriate, my first question would have been, what did you see? And I don't think that there's any way you could either clean that up or sugarcoat it in any way. Do you have any understanding why Joe Paterno would have only reported it to the higher-ups or not even followed up after he did to say, well, what are you doing about this? That's what blows most people's minds who are outside of the the Penn State environment.
Well, let me say something about my view of Joe Paterno. And he has done great things for Penn State. And he's raised, for instance, $15 or $20 million for the library,
right,
which bears his name, and it might be taken away. He helped get Penn State into the Big Ten, and that helped raise the academic standard at Penn State a great deal. He has one of the highest graduation rates in division football players of any Division I football program, very close probably to Stanford's and Notre Dame's. And even if he has done some of these things to promote himself to the public, these have been good things. And yet, the individual, like most individuals in life, has flaws. He's brash. He's quick to temper tantrums. He does not often listen to other people's opinions. And his ethics, by the way, have not always been the highest. I don't know if you want to hear a couple.
Yeah, I would like to hear a couple of things.
Well, not that this is unbelievably bad, but one time after he had three losses and his football coaches were questioning, this is just after he won 30 games in a row back in the around 1970 or so, someone questioned what he had done, and he just asked, anybody who doesn't want to follow me, you may quit right now and leave. I heard that from one of the coaches. He did something strange. It's not particularly unethical, but he challenged Dartmouth, little old Dartmouth, to a postseason football game once when Dartmouth was chosen as the winner of the Eastern Lambert Trophy. And he just couldn't stand it that Penn State would be considered lower than Dartmouth. That might go back to his Brown upbringing.
Right.
I'm not sure. For a long time, he forbade female athletic trainers even close to anything in the football program until a lawsuit, possibility of a lawsuit, made him change his mind. And now this is an ethical one. We were playing Pitt in a football game when they had Tony Dorsett, or Dorsett, whatever, however you would like.
Yeah, it's Tony Dorsett, yeah.
Well, he changed his pronunciation of it. But anyway, right before the game, he let the grass grow about 2 inches taller than ever. And when it rained, instead of having the tarpaulin on the field, he left it off. And I questioned this, and I questioned it to him at a seminar. And to my knowledge, Joe Paterno only went to one seminar ever at Penn State, but he may have gone to more. I think he went to one faculty meeting, and he's a full professor with tenure, by the way. He still has that. That wasn't taken away from him. And I question him in a hypothetical situation using the facts that I knew of what he did, let the grass grow long, and and let the rain fall on it to slow up Tony Dorsett. As a result, well, Penn State won, but I asked him the question at the seminar on morality in sports, and he said, well, you have to do what you have to do, and I'll leave the question of morality up to a philosopher. I thought that was clever of his, but he certainly questioned his ethics at that time. And I might...
Ron, hold on just a second. I got to take a break right here. Very interesting, insightful conversation from Professor Emeritus of Sports History at Penn State University, the author of the book, and I urge everyone to please check it out. It's called Pay for Play, A History of Big-Time College Athletic Reform. Ron Smith is with us. We continue with more of You and Sports Byline.